entirely new series this week, and through Advent here, the next five services, which would include Christmas Eve. Isaiah 9, verse 6 is going to be our theme for the Advent season, and there's four names in there that you're going to learn about this morning. The first one being Wonderful Counselor, and we're going to describe and we're going to look at that, and what does that mean to us in our life today, and how does that challenge us? And so if you would turn with me in your pew Bible to Isaiah 9, verse 6. It's just a short verse, but there's a lot to go with it. Once again, we're Old Testament, so we're looking at prophecy here as Isaiah writes about this coming king and this coming child. And here's what it says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called. And here's the key point we're going to look at here in the next few weeks. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace is our words today. Thanks be to God for His holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather here in Your name. We ask for the presence of Your Spirit today as we've opened Your Scripture and we've read from it. Lord, may You bring that word to life through that Spirit. And Lord, may this Spirit just enter into me, Lord, and may it deliver the message that You want Your people to hear today. May these words be Yours and never my own. And Lord, we pray for those that have gathered here today that You bless them with the presence of Your Spirit. Lord, open their hearts, minds, and souls to hear Your word. May You speak to them today. In Jesus I pray, amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. I like how Al led into that and the children singing, and I didn't know none of that was coming today, but it ties directly into our message today. Does anyone know what their name means? Have you looked that up in your, and maybe at home you Googled it or whatever it might be? And so how many of you know what your name means? Any idea? Just raise your hand if you know what it means. A few of you. How many of you are going to go home now and Google it and figure out what it means? Yeah, about everybody else will. Right? Okay, so let me share. I looked mine up this past week, and Robert means, and I'm not sure why this is, but bright fame. That's what my name means. I'm sure that's not what my parents thought once in a while when they thought they named me, but here's my question for you this morning. How did you get your name? Think about that. Parents, they named you, okay, but then I want you to go deeper with me this morning. Why were you named that? Were you named after somebody specifically, or maybe in your family, a grandfather or a grandmother or something like that, that your family has continued on a name? Why did your parents name you what they did? And so I want you to think about that this morning. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at some very interesting names of Jesus, the Messiah. And we read those off here just a little bit ago in the Scripture. But all these names point to one person, Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the name above our names and anyone else in this world. And so there are several names of Jesus in Scripture that describe who He is. We're not going to study these, but here are a few of them. You've heard them over the years. Lord of hosts, Deliverer, King of kings, Redeemer, Savior. And because it's Advent, we're going to look and reflect on Isaiah 9, verse 6 at these different names and what do they truly mean to us. Because we know the verse. We've heard it many times in Christmas programs. We've heard it in maybe in Advent type of sermons and messages. We've seen it in songs on the radio. It comes to us a lot in many different ways. And so we're going to look at the specific passage this morning. So this prophecy comes to Christ, and it was given hundreds of years before His birth. It tells us that this child that was to be born would have some very amazing names, things that you and I might not always understand, but He's given these names. And according to Isaiah, He'd be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so today we look at Wonderful Counselor. Let me just say right up front that in some Bible translations, you will find that there is a comma between wonderful and counselor. in some of those translations. So maybe if you look at your Bible, you go home and you see Isaiah 9 verse 6, depending on your translation, you might see that and you might think, well, is that two different names? Well, in the Hebrew, there is no punctuation between those two words. It's one name, Wonderful Counselor. And so we're going to study that today. The Bible places a high premium on wise counsel. Let's talk about that just a little bit this morning when you think of Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah 11 verse 2, and if you have your outline with you today, you'll see many different Bible verses that I put on there specifically that tie into this message. I encourage you to go home and read those this week because I can't get them all on the screen here this morning, but they have some deep meaning. Now, this one you'll see in the blue box this morning. Isaiah 11 verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Talks about this name, Jesus. But here are a few more verses I want you to hear this morning that I'm going to read to you. They talk about wise counsel. A person will hear and increase learning, and a person of understanding will attain wise counsel in their life. Psalm 33 verse 11 is another one. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Now, counseling today is at an all-time high. More people see therapists and counselors than ever before in the world that you and I live in for an assortment of things that go on in their lives. Counseling today is at an all-time high in our society, and many seek counseling from people like this, Dr. Oz, a David Ramsey, Oprah Winfrey, and other people that seek advice, and maybe you have somebody that you might listen to often in your life. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking advice or counseling when you have a particular need in your life. In fact, the Bible encourages it. Seek out somebody wise. Talk things through. Figure out what you need to do. Bounce it off somebody else. See what they think. The Bible encourages us to do that. But we're also called to seek wise counsel from Scripture and prayer and maybe even other Christian friends or relatives. That's what the Bible teaches us. Wise counsel. And so you must not, and I must not lose sight of the fact that we as believers have access to the most wonderful counselor imaginable in Jesus Christ. And he's available 24/7. So let's ask this next question. What makes Jesus such a wonderful counselor? Let's explore that just a little bit this morning. And so here's my first one. He understands your struggles. Now, most of you might be going through things, or some of you might be going through things. You're like, does he really know what I'm going through? Does he understand what it's like to live my life? To experience the hardship that I'm going through or another family member is going through? Does he really understand that? Let me read to you Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest, which that would speak of Jesus Christ, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus gets it. And we talk about this in our Sunday school class, the divinity of Jesus and the humanity of Jesus all in one, God and human being in Jesus Christ, the divine. He's seen it. He's been through it all. And more. He lived on this earth. He walked this earth. He probably got the flu. He probably got a cold. He experienced what it was like to be rejected, for people to spit on him, for people to take him to the cross and so on. You get that. You know that. There's nothing that you have experienced in your life that he has not. Ever. He gets it. He can relate to you and I. And so when you go to him and you ask him for prayers, whatever it might be, he understands. Now, that doesn't mean that he might not answer it the way you want it to be answered, or that might not be his will for whatever the situation you find yourself in. But he understands. He knows your heart. He knows your mind before a thought's even on it. He sees it. So let me ask you this morning. Have you ever been betrayed? Wrongly accused? People ever gossiped about you? Have you ever suffered physical pain? Been in physical need? Maybe you felt lonely. Maybe you suffered some kind of a loss. Whether maybe it's somebody in your family, a husband, a wife, a child, a parent, maybe a business or money. Have you ever been afraid? Maybe you felt that you've reached the bottom and there's no way up. Because he has. Jesus understands. That's why he's the wise counselor. Let's move on to the next area. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. God cares for you, so turn all your worries over to him. You know, some counselors, they only care as long as you can pay the bill. But not Jesus. He cares about you as a person. He cares about your character, your spiritual growth. He cares about your emotional welfare and your well-being. He cares about the pain that you and I will go through, and we might suffer from time to time with the things that come at us in this world and in this life. He considers you of great value and of great worth. Matthew 6, verse 26. And this is a common verse. It's not on the screen, but look at the birds of the sky, he says. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? And the answer to that question is, my gosh, yes, very much. God thinks you're worth everything in the world. In fact, he thinks you're worth so much that he sent his son to die for you. That's how much worth you have. Because he cares for you. He thinks you have value. He thinks you have worth. Remind yourself of that this Advent season. Maybe when you get a little down and, you know, you maybe feel like the world's leaving you behind or you're pushed to the side. God cares for you and I. And here's probably the most important point of this message this morning. If we ask Jesus into our hearts, he commits himself to you and I at a very deep level. He is committed to be our God. And we see that first in the sign of baptism when he says, I will be whoever is baptized up here, or we've been baptized, I will be their God. That's a promise that he makes to us. And so Jesus, he wants to have that personal relationship with you and I. John 10, verse 27, if you're a follower of Christ, this will be familiar to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So let me ask you a few questions this morning. If we understand that John 10, verse 27, that Jesus speaks to us, how does that happen? What does that look like? And maybe you're there this morning. I've never had that happen in my life. Jesus has never spoken to me. Well, let me just unpack a few of these this morning so you get an idea of how the Lord speaks to us in many different ways. But I'm going to share two very key points that God speaks to us this morning. And so here's the question, and here's your answers. First one's in the purple box. God speaks to us through the written word. How many of you have read Bible passages before, and they're exactly what you need for the moment that you're going through in life? How many of you have ever been there with that? Yep, I've been there. Something that encourages you, something that you needed for that day. God speaks to you through his word. And God does that probably most commonly to me the most. He speaks to the written word. So when I tell you, believer, be in the word of God, because that's where he speaks to you and I. And you're not in the word, Maybe God's not speaking to you. And you wonder why. So ask yourself, am I in the Word enough that God can speak to me on a daily basis in my life? And here's the second one that's probably the most powerful one that moves us, and many times people don't even realize it. And that's the Holy Spirit. He works through us. He guides and He directs. He pushes in certain areas. How many of you have done something in your life and all of a sudden a thought comes into your mind where you might have this thought that, why did I do this? Or get this, you might be working away and all of a sudden somebody pops into your head, a name of a family member or a neighbor or somebody you know at work, all of a sudden, boom, it pops in your head and you think, where did that come from? Why am I thinking about that? See, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. And more than likely what God's wanting you to do is He's want, and I've had this more often than not, that God wants you to pray for that person, that situation, or that individual. How many of you ever had that happen in your life? Yeah, a lot of hands go up, don't they? How many of you ever had a Bible verse come out of nowhere that you maybe need even realize that you knew, and you rattle it off in your mind because of a situation that you've just encountered? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's guiding you. God is speaking to you and I through the Spirit. Now here's an even harder one that might come to us, but it's good for us. How many of you have done something as a believer, and all of a sudden God says, you shouldn't have done that. And you got a little bit of guilt, or maybe He's trying to make you aware of maybe of a potential sin or something that isn't quite kosher to you as a believer. And you might have a little bit of guilt, or you might have a little bit of intrepidation of what you're doing or getting involved in. And see, and that's God's Spirit talking to you, saying, believer, get away from this. Don't engage in that. Don't say that to that person. That's not love, right? We have that, don't we? That's the work of the Spirit. You see, that's when Jesus commits Himself to you and I, the Spirit He promises to live within us and that works in our life. It guides us. And then sometimes we decide that we're going to step out of the Spirit and we walk in the flesh, and all of a sudden life doesn't go well. You do the wrong things. You find yourself in sin. You find yourself making the wrong decisions because you step out of the Spirit. And we call that walking in the flesh today. And God says, don't walk in the flesh. It'll lead to destruction. And believers are to walk in the Spirit of God because God says, I will commit to you. That's what it's about. The Holy Spirit still speaks in a great way to you and I today. That's commitment. That's wise counsel. That's the wonderful counselor. So when you commit yourself to God, He commits Himself to you. So when you give yourself to Him, excuse me, back up here one, He promises to hold on to you. John 10, verse 28. I think I have that on the screen in the yellow box this morning. Here's a promise for you and I. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Eternal glory, eternal salvation for a believer. On earth right now. Now that can be a debated a Bible verse. Some people will say, well, what about those that have fallen away from the church and they've left? There's no longer a relationship. So my question is, did they ever have a relationship to begin with in the first place? Was it there? I don't know. I can't answer that. Neither can you. That's between them and God. But God promises in John 10, verse 28, that once we commit to God, God commits to us, and He says, no one will snatch you away, no matter what happens in your life. If you fall into sin, whatever it might be, and that happens with believers, God says, I still got them. I still got them. No one means no one. God will not allow anyone to keep us away from his love. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. You've heard this many times. It's Paul speaking. He gets it. Here's what he says. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything created will have the power to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty big, wide statement. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Once we've committed ourselves to him, he commits himself to us. And so let me challenge you this week, as you walk out of here this morning, I want you to make an appointment with the wise counselor, with the wonderful counselor. I want you to meet him somewhere in your walk this week. I want you to either sit down with him, wherever it might be, if it's in the car or at home in your study or wherever it might be in your bedroom. I want you to open your heart up to him this week. I want you to share with him what's going on in your life. Whether it's good, praiseworthy, or you've got a lot of big things on your plate that you don't understand and they frighten you and they worry you, I want you to give those to God. I want you to let him deal with those. There's no problem that he cannot solve because he is our wonderful counselor. Praise him if life is going well. Praise him if life is not going so well, because he's got control of everything. No matter what the diagnosis is or where you find yourself in life, God is already there. Amen.